I spoke to Stephanie F., who is an HR consultant and does fractional recruiting for her clients and partners. And the quote that stood out to me is this. People hate LinkedIn, right? It's the best of the worst because the masses are going to LinkedIn. That's what they hear and know. And that's what we're going to talk about today. If everyone hates LinkedIn, why are we still there? I'm Josh Levine. I've spent the last 20 years paying attention to how work actually works, culture, incentives, and stories we tell ourselves about capitalism doing what it's supposed to do. This podcast is just me trying to understand what's happening in real time by talking to job seekers and hirers about what their experience and maybe eventually what to do about it. I'm not promising any answers, but I am going to be asking a lot of questions. This is the Job Market Shit Show. Episode 2, if everyone hates LinkedIn, why are we still there? The key idea here is why a one less than amazing platform dominates job search. Guaranteed that 99.9% of anyone who is listening to this is on LinkedIn. And yet, through so many conversations, everybody expresses their at least vague annoyance, but at most just absolute frustration with LinkedIn as the platform of choice. And that tension was really got me interested in kind of exploring what were this idea, right? Like, okay, then why don't we use something else? And there are plenty of platforms out here, but out in the world. And folks do use them, but LinkedIn is really dominating. So I'm going to break this up into two sets of data points that I've collected from talking to folks, positive and negative. And we'll start with kind of the positives, why we stick around. First and foremost, it's become the default. Everyone just expects you to be there, or employers are just, they see it's a two-sided market, right? And they see that the majority of people are there. And so bang for buck, even though LinkedIn is generally more expensive, employers are going to put their job postings there. And because all the job postings, or at least most of the job postings, are there, most of the people are there going to be looking and using it. So that's number one. That's kind of, it just is the default. Number two, our networks. It does a good job, right? LinkedIn was originally meant to be kind of the Facebook of business, and we do have our networks there. It is the place where we can, if we find a job, we can confidently assume that probably you're going to have at least one second connection to that job. And that's pretty powerful. And I can appreciate that. And that idea of the network, it's going to enable the referrals and, you know, warm leads. The third kind of primary thing that LinkedIn is good at are these profiles, our profiles. It's the best we have to go beyond just the resume. Resumes suck. They flatten us. They don't do a good job, but we still rely on them. So LinkedIn gives us that ability to have those profiles. So those are kind of the three main things: the default network, or the default ecosystem, the network where we know people, and our profiles. The two other pieces that I will say is that LinkedIn provides, obviously, that job search. You can put in alerts and get filters, and it aggregates jobs. It's not amazing, but it does work somewhat, and we'll talk about why it doesn't work in a second. And then the other piece that I've heard is job discovery. So sometimes if you're following the right people, you might be able to see other jobs that pop up, or have folks in your network see those jobs that might be right for you. So that's why I think, or I have listened to folks say why they continue to use it. That's probably the case for you. All right, now let's talk about what's wrong with LinkedIn. I sum up all of it under the idea of being noisy. There is just so much stuff happening, and it is really hard to navigate it all. So I have three types of noise that I have observed. Number one, the noise of spam and scams. So if you've put up that little frame on your picture that says hashtag open to work, it's kind of like this open, not open to work, but like open to be scammed. I'm sure you probably experienced immediately getting so much in mail from people that may or may not have actual things to share with you. So what are the types of spam and scams that are out there? There's obviously the fake job offer, or the recruiter impersonation. I heard from one of the folks that I talked to that they've experienced, people will, or scammers will, break into a recruiter's profile and then send messages based on that. So it feels real. So these fake job offers, recruiting impersonation, they're going to ask you for money or information. There's resume harvesting. So if someone asks you to put your resume up, they'll take your information, sell your data. Of course, there's also sales spam, which I'm sure you've seen, you know, hey, we have common interests. Let me tell you about what we do. And then also fake business opportunities, crypto things, whatever. It's all just there and it's coming at you because everybody's there. So that's number one in the noise category. Number two, false positives. So we are now moving more specifically into that job search function that LinkedIn provides. And it, depending on how much effort you put into it, it probably doesn't do a great job of giving you everything, giving you the best jobs, right? So ill-fitting, the keywords maybe aren't quite right, or people posting the jobs use keywords that aren't quite right. One example was that this candidate was looking for remote work, but those jobs actually use remote to mean hybrid, and you have to be within, you know, whatever driving distance of the city. And that immediately counts out what this person was applying for. There's also the idea that job roles aren't titled correctly. You know, there's senior roles that are junior roles in disguise. And then also there's sort of this ill timing. In addition to ill fit, there's sort of ill timing. So job post is still up, but it's already been filled. Maybe it's been filled internally. Maybe it's paused, but still live. Maybe it's posted because they need to, because for some compliance or optics. We actually will talk about that in another episode, because I think it's a specific issue that needs to be driven. So all of this adds to the noise of what you're being bombarded with, and you have to sort through it. And then finally, just the sort of overall category of too much. There's just too much of everything. There's too much posting. There's hundreds of new roles in the same category. You're just getting hit with these pings all the time. Should you narrow your search terms? Should you broaden your search terms? Old listings are recirculated as new listings. And then there's people, you know, we are all probably over applying, right? So it's like we have these problems of this problem of people, so many people applying for jobs, which is what we just talked about on the last episode 1. And so that application counter creates kind of this panic or underlying anxiety, and you're incentivized to apply faster, earlier, sloppier. That is problematic. And the truth is, one of the resume writers that I spoke to he just articulates it by saying, like, nobody likes this. Nobody likes the process. Nobody. It's terrible. Another professional job and career coach said that she finds LinkedIn exhausting and explicitly opts out of algorithm chasing, and which I can appreciate. It's just too much if you're engaging in this. And all of this is driving that fatigue. It's both decision fatigue and sort of a general fatigue. And that's what's problematic in why LinkedIn is why we have a love-hate relationship with LinkedIn. It's we are exhausted. We're not getting feedback. We're putting in a ton of effort. We're not getting feedback. Candidates just don't have the signals that to rely on to make better decisions. How do you parse your time? How do you decide what is and is not a good use of your time, which leads to folks creating these systems that make it easier to apply for more jobs? It just feels hopeless. And it's really hard to interpret the outcomes. What if you apply for something, you don't get any feedback? You apply for something, you get feedback. Maybe you do an interview. Maybe you do three interviews and then you don't get the job or more. And that sort of generalization of this specific challenge around LinkedIn, I think it's emblematic of what we're feeling. And I think LinkedIn kind of bears the brunt of that. We're all there. It's the top of the funnel of the finding a job or recruiting funnel. And so we just need to be there. And it feels like we are forced to wade through the slop to maybe get to something that is useful. Here's the problem. It feels like we don't have a choice. We don't have an opportunity. And one of the folks that I spoke to who's been applying to jobs, I said, if LinkedIn is where all the jobs are posted, why go to, and he had told me he uses another website to apply. I don't remember whether it was Indeed or one of the other ones. I said, why do you use the other one? And he said, honestly, it's just to feel like I'm doing something different, something I can control. And that was such an illuminating moment for me, because it feels like nothing we do makes a difference. And we, as humans, and I learned this as someone interested in how people work and culture, we are willing to put in the energy and effort if we understand and see our outcomes. We see something move. But if we don't, then we feel it's wasted. And that's what is so exhausting. That's what's so exhausting. Let's go back to Stephanie F. from our initial quote. Remember the one who said LinkedIn is the best of the worst. She, I think, is sharing some other developing edges around how people are looking to take control of their job search outside of LinkedIn. And we can talk in the future about offline networking and what that means. But for now, since we are talking about platforms, I want to read you a quote from Stephanie. There's a lot of Slack communities, Discord communities popping up now. People that have worked at small businesses or startups are gravitating more towards these networking type communities to find jobs. This feels to me like, if not the direction, a direction, an evolution of how we're looking for work. And I don't know if it is the answer, but it's certainly interesting looking for the opposite of LinkedIn. If LinkedIn is everything for everyone all the time, how can you find a community that is much more cordoned off, much more explicitly about the people that are interested in the work that you're doing, are peers of yours, are, you know, have shared skills? Those might be the place to start to investigate and look for work in addition to LinkedIn. That's the end of episode 2. If you'd rather read or watch the Job Market Shit Show, find us on Substack and YouTube. I'll put a link in the show notes. If you have a story about looking for work, landing a job, or hiring, let's talk. Email stories at thejobmarketshitshow.com, and we'll send you a link to schedule a call, and I'd love to talk with you. Poke some holes in my story, add some data, anything like that. I really appreciate it. Thanks for joining the Job Market Shit Show.